Lebanon, a country torn by a history of war and political struggle. Throughout the years 1975 to 1990, Lebanon became a country-wide battlefield, divided amongst various domestic political armed factions, while the country was also engulfed by regional political conflicts, with a major Syrian troop deployment in the country in 1975, and the 1982 Israeli military invasion, in which thousands of civilians in Lebanon lost their lives. Lebanon's civil war has been traced by many historians to domestic social injustice, as the country throughout the 1960s and early 70s witnessed growing domestic poverty rates, hitting alarming rates in the early 1970s in the southern and northern regions of the country. After 15 years of civil war and 15 years of post-war reconstruction, and recent major political change with the 2005 assassination of the former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri and the April 2005 Syrian military withdrawal from the country. In the shadow of all these major political changes, poverty, unemployment, and economic desperation persist today in Lebanon. The small Middle Eastern country of just under 4 million people, bordering Syria, Israel, and the Mediterranean Sea.
Why poverty is not causing famine in Lebanon? Famine, maja. Why? Because each family has one of its members outside Lebanon, working outside Lebanon, and transferring a good part share of his revenue to his parents, to his family, to his brothers, etc. That's why poverty didn't lead yet the Lebanese households to that famine. Okay.
The redistribution of the per capita amongst the society is not equal. Now this can be, let's say, supported by the figures that more than 29% of the Lebanese are poor. Yani when you are talking about social justice, choices should be equal for everybody. Mm-hmm. Not yani for the have and the have not. Or equal, for example, for those who can go, afford to go to the American University of Beirut. They can find easily work later on, but those they go to the Lebanese University, they will never find work.
You are listening to Radio Tadamon, produced by the Tadamon Collective, a group of social justice activists from Montreal working to build solidarity with movements for social and economic justice in Lebanon. This episode of Radio Tadamon was produced by Stefan Christoph. For more information on Tadamon, visit tadamon.resist.ca. That's tadamon.resist.ca. In February 2001 and in November 2002, the European Union and international financial institutions such as the International Monetary Fund and World Bank hosted the consecutive Paris 1 and Paris 2 conferences, which focused on Lebanon's post-war reconstruction. These international conferences marked critical steps in Lebanon's post-war structural adjustment. With the rising public debt, a key element of political policy demanded by the participants of the consecutive Paris conferences was privatization. National Lebanese institutions like the electrical company, national healthcare plans, the postal system, Liban Post, were then on the path to privatization, led by foreign companies as a method to pay back the growing national debt to international financial institutions like the World Bank. Today, Lebanon is teetering on a major financial crisis, fueled by the massive national debt, high unemployment rates, and a growing national poverty rate. The United Nations recently estimated that upwards of one-third of the population is living in poverty. The massive national debt, the post-war reconstruction policy of privatization, and regional-specific development focused mainly on the center of the capital city, Beirut, have been highlighted by progressive economists in Lebanon as the key roots to the present financial crisis. Throughout the next 30 minutes, you will hear a radio documentary exploring poverty in Lebanon. First, we will hear from Ziad Abdel Samad of the Arab NGO Network for Development, who outlines the current conditions of poverty in Lebanon as related to the country's reconstruction, civil war, and globalization.
First, I would like to say that there is many factors that contributed or they affected the socioeconomic situation in the country. Okay. Globalization maybe is one of them, and it's a very important part of the whole process. Yeah. But also you have to take into consideration many other, let's say, factors. Okay. Starting with first the war and the post-war situation and the national debate that took place about the priorities of the reconstruction, where to start and where to invest more, and the approach, you know, how do we understand the all reconstruction process and the priorities of this process.
Okay.
And the second is related to the regional context. I mean the implication of the regional situation and the instability at the regional level and the impact on Lebanon as a small country which is highly affected at the political level with all the surrounding processes, which is also affecting the socioeconomic aspect. Mm-hmm. Let's say, you know, when you are talking about the Israeli-Arab conflict, mm-hmm. and you know very well that Lebanon is the main area where all the contradictions and the conflict is expressed from inside Lebanon. With you have, for example, Lebanon is the only front open with Israel. In Lebanon, you have all the political tendencies with their affiliation with the regional level. So the reflection of all the contradictions at the regional level, also at the Iraqi situation. You know that in Iraq now, for example, this confessional fractions and tensions, etc. So also has its, let's say, reflection in Lebanon. So okay. It's and the pro-American, anti-American also it has its implication on the Lebanese side. The America-Irani conflict also. It's a, so Lebanon as a country, its structure, its geopolitical situation is highly affected by all what is going on at the regional level. The third main factor is the political structure of the country, where it is very difficult to introduce political reforms.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
What we like to say, the national pact, Pact National, which was where you have this confessional partition, which is kind of, let's say, an agreement between the 17 minorities or 17 communities living in Lebanon in order to find a system, which was supposed to be kind of a transition period. To go into a national real unity or integrity, mm-hmm. which didn't take place and led us to another conflict in 1958 and then 1975 and then to the Taif Agreement, which was also kind of a new or a developed Pact National, National Pact, which also is creating kind of a structure very difficult to break and through and to make kind of political reform or to build institutions, independent real institutions where you can talk about a real citizenship and belonging, etc. So this political structure is also highly affecting. Yani when you want to introduce any reform, you have to take into consideration the partition of the interests among various communities and various confessions, etc.
You have been listening to the voice of Ziad Abdel Samad of the Arab NGO Network for Development. We will now hear from Dr. Ali Shouai of Notre Dame University in Lebanon, who addresses how the economic policies driven by the post-Civil War government and specifically by former Prime Minister Rafik El Hariri created uneven social distribution of wealth, while also addressing the large dependency of the country on international financial loans.
First, I think that poverty is a sign. Poverty is directly related to the macroeconomic policies conceived, adopted, and applied by any government. Okay. In Lebanon, if we look at what happened in our country during the last 15 years, just after the conclusion of the Taif Agreement in Lebanon in 1990, we noticed that the economic policies in Lebanon were highly misguided economic policies. I'll give you some examples. When Mr. Hariri was appointed head of the government in Lebanon in 1992. The monetary situation in Lebanon was very unstable. The lira, which is the Lebanese pound, knew before a very long period of instability. Okay? So the first purpose, the first goal that Mr. Hariri wanted to reach is to stabilize the Lebanese currency, okay? Stabilize its exchange rate. We were all for reaching such a goal. But when we saw the mean that Mr. Hariri wanted to use to reach such a purpose or such a goal, let's say the positions, our positions became completely opposites, okay? Because the mean used by him was the interest rate, okay? And he thought that the more the interest rate in Lebanon could be high, and the more we can attract people to demand their Lebanese currency, and therefore the Lebanese currency will be appreciated on the exchange market, and it will be up to him the best way to stabilize its exchange rate. Okay, but using this instrument, which were the interest rates in Lebanon, produced a very negative effect, and this policy also occurred when the government was borrowing a lot to finance its reconstruction projects. Okay? So the government started borrowing money on the market, issuing Lebanese treasury bills and euro bonds in foreign currencies to finance these projects, these reconstruction projects in the country. Borrowing at such a cost produced a high deficit in the public budget in Lebanon. And each time, the government saw itself obliged to cover this deficit with a new borrowing, with a new debt. On the new debt, the government was supposed to pay more and more interest rate. And finally, causing a high new deficit in the new budget. So it's a vicious circle. Yani we entered a vicious circle, borrowing, debt servicing very high, deficit in the budget, covering the deficit with a new debt, paying high interest rate on the new debt, causing a new deficit in the new budget, etc. This is a vicious circle.
You have been listening to an interview with Eli Yeshuai of Notre Dame University in Lebanon. We will now hear from Adib Naima of the UNDP, the United Nations Development Program in Lebanon, who will address the statistical realities of poverty in the country.
Almost one-third of the population in the mid-90s were living in some kind of a deprivation, which is below what should be accepted as a normal standard of living according to Lebanese conditions. Mm-hmm. And out of this one-third of the population, we have around 7% of the population living really in very low living conditions. Now, this is nationwide. Now, if we look into the regional disparities, for example, using this same criteria, we have found that four of the rural regions in the north and the south, yes, in the periphery of the country, the poverty incidence, according to this index, reach more than two-thirds of the population. While this, the very poor, and the 7% at the local level, we reach more than 20% in this region. But we have also regional disparities, okay, and this is a chronic phenomenon in Lebanon. Historically, was well known for more than 100, 150 years ago, where we have this central Lebanon and the periphery of Lebanon, we have a huge disparity. And this phenomenon is continuing until now. Mm-hmm. But because of the distribution of the population, one should just clarify that the concentration of the poor, mm-hmm, are mainly in the cities, exception made for Akkar, which is a rural area, but which is highly populated. While other rural areas, people have emigrated into the cities. So we find high incidence of poor in south and Beqa region, but the concentration are in the suburbs of Beirut, where these poor coming from south and from Beqa, for example, are living in the southern suburb and within Beirut itself. But it doesn't apply only for Akkar, where there is high population there and are still living in their rural regions.
You have been listening to an interview with Adib Naima of the UNDP, the United Nations Development Program in Lebanon. We will now hear an interview with Kamel Hamdan, renowned economist and poverty analyst in Lebanon of the Consultation and Research Institute, who will address the present-day realities of poverty in the country according to recent and historical surveys on the national crisis.
How to define poverty in terms of physical incapability to cover the needs in terms of food, the phenomena in Lebanon might vary between 5 and 7%. For the second definition, corresponding to the upper poverty line and which implicate a greater part of the lower middle class, this percentage, the poverty head account, might rise till 40, maybe 45% of total resident. Both phenomena are in part a byproduct of the civil war, of the destruction of resources, of capital, and another part is pertaining to the structural social and economic problems that Lebanon has since a very long time known, in terms of regional disparities, inequality, in terms of accessibility to public goods, in terms of a wide share of the informal sector, in terms of the nucleus subgroups of marginalized people who haven't any access to public support or public services.
You've been listening to the voice of Kamel Hamdan, renowned economist and poverty analyst in Lebanon, of the Consultation and Research Institute. Poverty and globalization. Today, Lebanon is facing a growing national debate concerning the internationalization of the national economy, as the country is currently within negotiations concerning a 2006 membership bid into the WTO, World Trade Organization. Growing voices amongst civil society in Lebanon are questioning the country's pending entrance into the WTO, as having a potentially devastating impact on the country's poor and underemployed. Ziad Abdul Samad of the Arab NGO Network for Development comments on the impact of globalization on the people of Lebanon and the country's economy.
Actually, Lebanon is less affected than other regions in the area, but still, the impact of the tendency to integrate Lebanon in the global economy is very high. I mean, and especially after the donor meeting that took place in Paris, Paris 1 and Paris 2, where the donors were asking Lebanon to introduce reforms in the macroeconomic level, the reconstruction of Lebanon and this vision cost Lebanon to be highly indebted country. So now we have, at that time in the early 2000s, Lebanon was, we had around $30 billion debt. Of course, most of them were internal debt, but more than $9 billion to $10 billion at that time, yani more than 30% of the debt were external. So the condition in order to help Lebanon to restructure the debt and to go out from this situation was a set of conditions to decrease public expenditure and to increase public income. To decrease public expenditure, it means you have to cut all expenditure on social services. So it was suggested that Lebanon should privatize electricity, energy, privatize telecommunication, and privatize mainly the Middle East, which is the airline, Middle East Airlines of Lebanon, which is until now it's a kind of a public good, and all kind of other services here and there. So the plan after Paris 2 was pushing for privatization. In the situation where privatization is taking place, you can have, let's say, the impression if it will have good impact or negative impact. First of all, the reason for privatization was to sell assets in order to cover the deficit. So, selling assets will cover the deficit of 2 or 3 years. And then, you will not have any more assets in order to cover the deficit, because the macroeconomic policy is not focusing mainly on the productive sectors. It is more focusing on services, where you will not have any production anymore in order to cover this deficit or to restructure your economy. The second reason of privatization is because the public sector is unable to manage anymore these assets. So if the public sector is unable to manage these assets, I mean, when you privatize these kind of services, vital services for people, you need a public sector who make control to be sure that this vital asset or this vital service can reach everybody and can be affordable for everybody, and it will not be under, let's say, only serving the interest of the private sector. So if you have the public administration weak, that it cannot manage these assets or these institutions, it means that this administration is unable to make any control, quality control, or a control on the outreach of these services. And the third, which is the most important, I think, that this public administration was accused to be corrupted, and since you cannot introduce political reforms in order to fight corruption, independent judiciary, independent control, etc., and even accountability, transparency, and in order to fight against corruption. So the reason was, you know, since it is corrupted and we cannot find corruption, etc., under this corrupted system you are going to privatize. So the result of privatization under this corrupted system will be definitely negative. The social impact will be negative, and groups of people will be affected. And during this transition period, we have to project kind of a safety net in order to help them to survive. This is the human aspect. So you know, the implementation of these policies will affect negatively some group of people. So you have to make plans in order to help them in order to survive. This is the safety nets as projected by the World Bank and in this new policy, which I think it's a disaster also.
Ziad Abdul Samad of the Arab NGO Network for Development. You have been listening to Radio Tadaman, produced by Tadaman, a collective of social justice activists from Montreal working to build solidarity with movements for social and economic justice in Lebanon. For more information on Tadaman, visit tadaman.resist.ca. That's tadamon.resist.ca. Radio Tadaman is broadcast on CKUT Radio in Montreal, Quebec, CJTR Radio in Regina, Saskatchewan, CIRO Radio in Kelowna, British Columbia, CKXU Radio in Lethbridge, Alberta, CJSF Radio at Simon Fraser University in Vancouver, British Columbia, CJMP Jump Radio in Powell River, British Columbia, CJMA Radio in Sackville, New Brunswick, CJLY Kootenai Cooperative Radio in Nelson, British Columbia, CFBU Radio at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario, Freck Campus Radio in Oshawa, Ontario, CJSW Radio in Calgary, Alberta, CILU Radio in Thunder Bay, Ontario, CFCR Radio in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, CJSR Radio in Edmonton, Alberta, CKLN Radio in Toronto, Ontario, and Cooperative Radio in Vancouver. Radio Tadaman is also produced for podcast through the Rabble Radio Network and internet distribution through the Electronic Intifada and the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters.